Hi, this is Bob Barney with The Plain Truth Today with a special program. It's our yearly, and it's a new one, a Passover program, because tonight is the real Passover of the Lord. And this is the only place you're going to hear that, I believe, on the entire internet or anywhere, because I don't know very many people, if anybody, other than what we have discovered here, of when the true calendar of God is. And we can prove that to ad nauseum. Below this, you're going to see some charts that we're going to talk about during this program of how we know that tonight is the night of the Passover, and tomorrow is the first day of unleavened bread, the feast of unleavened bread, and the continuation generically of what is called Passover. So I do want to say that this program is going to touch on things you don't hear anywhere else. And I can tell you right now, you may not hear it anywhere else, but I can show you in the Bible. The words are on the page, and you cannot dispute some of the things that the Bible makes the claim about when the Passover happened, the day that Jesus actually died and was resurrected, the day of the week and the date in the year. And you can figure that out by the Bible. And I do want to also say before we get going on this, there will not be a 7:11 p.m. show tonight, because hopefully most of you will decide to follow some kind of a Passover tonight. And that means to have a Last Supper if anything else fails. You can go get yourself some unleavened bread or some kind of unleavened thing and some wine. We don't have grape juice. Jesus didn't drink grape juice. And again, you can prove that by just listening or reading the words on the page. And so there's not going to be a show tonight. This is the show for today and tonight. You can replay it. And it's going to talk about one of the most important holidays in God's calendar. Unfortunately, the churches today, the Christian churches today, do not have anything to do with God's calendar or God's law or what God wants us to do. We follow pagan holidays that's been Christianized. Christmas is not a Christian holiday. Easter is actually still named after the pagan god Ashtaroth, or Easter in Old German. And it's a pagan holiday of the fertility rites of the springtime. It's nothing to do with Christ's resurrection. Christ, first of all, was not resurrected on a Sunday morning, as Easter sunrise service tries to tell you. You know, you can go to Ezekiel, I believe it's chapter 8 off the top of my head, and you can read about an Easter sunrise service some 700 years before the real Passover, Jesus' death. And they're following a sunrise worship when the sun's in the east, that's sunrise worship service, on the pagan holiday called Easter. And that's what it's called in the Bible. If you understand the word that's being translated, Ashtaroth is really the Easter celebration. You know, what's rabbits and colored eggs have to do with Christ? Nothing. It has all to do with the pagan rituals that surrounded the ancient a pagan celebration called Easter. And if you were to bring some ancient pagan back from Babylon from, 700 BC and put them into a modern church today at a Easter sunrise service, they would have no problem whatsoever of recognizing what the holiday stood for. And it stood for the pagan god Tammuz, who was killed and resurrected from the dead. It's a false Christ narrative that Satan, the devil, knowing the plan of God, put in effect long before Christ ever walked this earth as a human being under the name Joshua, or English version of the Greek word Jesus, as we call it today. And so these holidays have nothing to do with God's holidays. God set forth in his word called the Bible the holidays he expects his people to follow. It's the same holidays in the New Testament, not just the Old Testament. These are not Jewish holidays. It was the holidays that Jesus followed. And long after his death and resurrection, the early church followed these holidays. They did not follow the holidays that Christians follow today. You only have to do a basic search on these terms of what the early church followed, what holidays they followed. You're going to find out even the Gentile churches followed Passover. They followed Day of Atonement. They followed the Feast of Tabernacles. This is what they did. They did it for some 300 years after Christ went back to heaven as God and Lord and Savior. That's, and the Catholic Church is who canonized them. Constantine forced it way back in, what, 400 AD? And that's when we started having modern-day Christianity, as you would recognize today, that God has nothing to do with. So hopefully you take the time to listen to this program. I don't know if I'll do all 30 minutes. I'll try to make it a little bit briefer if I can. But sometimes I get carried away when I have all these facts and figures that I want to show. But let's go into the date of when Jesus had his Last Supper, which is clearly a Passover meal. And there is a problem there because the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, make it clear that Jesus said it was a Passover meal. But unfortunately, it doesn't go well with modern day Christians who have to then say, well, if Jesus was following the Passover, why did the Jews follow it the next night? Remember, Christ had to be taken off the cross the next day before sundown, because sundown is when the Jewish day began, and that was their high day, which was their Passover coming. And I can show you, we'll show you the year that this all happened. We have right below, if you keep looking down, you can see the pictures of the what we call April 2nd, and what we call April 3rd today, and you can see it in AD 30, and you can see this works out perfectly. Now, let's get to when we know Jesus could not have died by his own words. Jesus said the sign of he was God and the Messiah was the sign of Jonah, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. Now, you try to take a Friday crucifixion at evening time, you know, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Friday to Saturday is 1 day. Saturday to Sunday is 2 days. Sunday to Monday is 3 days. Oh, wait a minute. He resurrected, they say, Sunday morning. But you can prove in the Bible he was already resurrected by the new day Sunday morning. He was resurrected on a Saturday Sabbath evening after sundown. And it's easy to prove. And after sundown might have been the start of a new Jewish day, but it was not the start of Jesus's day, because he followed the calendar of the Bible, the same kind of a calendar, by the way, that the Essenes followed. And believe it or not, John the Baptist was probably an Essene, and probably many people in the early church were Essenes that understood real quickly who Jesus was in relation to the Old Testament, that he was the God of the Old Testament, and that his Passover was now at the completion of what they were following all these years at a different calendar. And every single search engine will prove the Essenes were following a different calendar. And the Essene Passover would have fallen on my Passover that I claim to be, even though their calendar is a little different than what I believe is the true calendar. But the first part of their calendar always starts on the spring equinox, always. And it always is 14 days later to Passover. And if you follow that and you understand that Jesus had to die on a Wednesday, and then a Thursday had to be the Jewish Passover, and Jesus had to have his crucifixion by the Bible timeline, any scholar will tell you this, somewhere between AD 26 and AD 35, and most say between AD 30 and AD 33, and most experts today, because they want to follow a Friday, Good Friday, what's so good about it, I don't know, our Lord and Savior was butchered, and if it was on a Friday, it wouldn't be a Good Friday, would it? And maybe it's good to Satan, who's deceiving you, but the truth of the matter is, Christ had to die to follow the prophecy of Jonah on a Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday to Thursday, 1 day. Thursday to Friday, 2 days. Friday to the Sabbath evening, 72 hours later, 3 days. 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And then he was resurrected sometime during the evening time of Sabbath night. And when the girls got to the tomb early Sunday morning, whilst it was still light, still dark, as light was approaching the first day of the week. You can read that in John. You just read the words on the page, John. It tells you exactly that Sunday morning was beginning, the first day of the week was beginning at dawn. And that is when they found the tomb already empty. But let's get to some of the proof that Jesus was following Passover, but he wasn't following the Jewish Passover. And you know that just by knowing that when he was crucified, he had to be taken down off the cross before that night, because that night was a high Sabbath. It was the Passover night for the Jews. Jesus died on the Jewish Passover of slaying the lambs, but it was fulfilling not the true calendar that the Jews were following. It was a symbolism to show you that he was both Passover and first fruits. Now we'll get into that. But now, and unleavened bread, I should say. Now let's go to some of the Gospels. We're going to start with Matthew 26, verse 17. Now, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for the Passover?" And he says, "Go into the city of a certain man and tell him the teacher says, blah, 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 boom." The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's the 14th, that night was going to be the Passover. And contrary to what anybody wants to say, that says it in Matthew, it says it in Mark, and it says it in Luke. Luke 22:7, then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Well, we know that the Jewish didn't sacrifice that Passover lamb till the next day, and that is the case. Jesus goes on and says the same exact thing to his disciples that he said in Mark. And Matthew. And now in Mark, starting in chapter 14, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Are you getting a point here that it's the first day of unleavened bread? And if it was something he was instituting at the time, as some churches try to say, the Last Supper wasn't a Passover meal, but it is. Because it tells you it is. The disciples asked Jesus every stupid question in the world. They were so stupid, so uninformed of Jesus' plans, that every time he made a statement, they would say, why is that? They didn't know anything. But he goes on when it says, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus told his disciples, "Where do you want us to go to make preparations to eat the Passover?" Mark 14 and verse 12, I believe that is. And then the disciples didn't say, "Why are we following the Passover tonight? It's tomorrow night." Obviously, they knew they were already following the Essene, at least, calendar, if not the true calendar that we propose in the Plain Truth Bible. You go below and you will see there's only one year that a Tuesday night was the 14th of the month, and the 15th of the month fell on a Wednesday of the solar calendar that Jesus was following, as I propose, and that the following Wednesday night was the Jewish Passover. It only happens on April 2nd and 3rd of 30 AD, and you can see that perpetual calendar proving that point. Now, Josephus explains that the lambs were sacrificed, and this is the Jewish Passover, not Christ's Passover, between the 9th and 11th hours, and that would be between 3 and 5 o'clock, on Nisan the 14th, or the 14th day of the first month. So when the Jewish people were sacrificing their lambs, Christ was being crucified, that was the Jewish 14th of the month. And so doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that the Wednesday evening began their new day, not God's, but their new day, because they're following the pagan Babylonian calendar, that was their Passover. And it's the only time that the Passover falls exactly after Christ's real Passover in a perfect solar year. It was AD 30. You can go to that website, you can put in any date you want, and you can't come up with it. The reason that scholars come up with AD 33 is because they're all trying to find a Friday date for a crucifixion before a Friday night Passover, because they did not read the words on the page of the Bible, which tells you exactly that Christ was following the Passover at a different time. He didn't institute a new Passover, as some people try to explain this away, because, again, the disciples would be saying, hey, wait a minute, why are we following a different day? No, it's because they already understood through all their teachings of Christ that the calendar that God instituted with Moses, and actually since the foundation of the earth, you can prove that Noah was following the same calendar. The first, you know, the 5 months between the flood waters is exactly 150 days and five, and it says that's 5 months. And in a lunar calendar, you don't have 5 months of 30 days. You have 5 months, which is going to be about probably 294 days. So there is all kinds of proof what calendar is taught in the Bible. And we have other shows and we have other literature, other articles of the calendar. I'm not going to get into that. We're going to get into the symbolism now of Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits, which is going to be really like the eighth day. The day after the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread comes a little remembered holiday in the Old Testament called first fruits. And many times people call Pentecost, first fruits. But Pentecost is really the first fruits of the church. The Feast of First Fruits on the 22nd of God's calendar is when they say counting the Omer to Pentecost. You take the 22nd, you count out 50 days, you get to May 29th, and that's Pentecost. No matter what it is, Pentecost does not fall on a Sunday perpetually. Again, that's pagan trying to get Sunday worship going again. The Passover, the Pentecost can follow on any day of the week. And so the 22nd is first fruits. What does that represent? Christ is our first fruits. Read the Apostle Paul. That's what he says. The Essene sacred year always began, as I said earlier, on the vernal equinox, and it is by definition in the Essene calendar always on a Wednesday. Now, I don't believe Christ was following the Essene calendar, but I believe it was so similar to his, and the first part of the holidays always are the same. So it's very likely that no Essene had a problem with what day he was following the Passover as well. The Essene Passover, by the way, always did fall on a Tuesday. The real Passover does not, but I think it's provable that Christ's Passover was Tuesday night on our April 2nd, and his death was the following day, April 3rd, about an hour or two before the beginning of the Jewish Passover, and that's why they came to get his body while it was still light, so it would not be on the cross during the Passover beginning for the Jews. That's simply the case. You can go through the Bible and you can prove exactly in the Bible when Passover was. And if you look below and you look again, you will see the only year that could happen was AD 30. So do you want to know the date that Christ had his last supper called Passover? It was the night of April the 2nd, the same April the 2nd that's tonight, in AD 30. And he was killed, butchered, really, he was tortured and butchered to death on a cross the next day, almost towards evening time, sometime between 3 and 5 o'clock. And then he went into the tomb, and 3 days later, Saturday after 5 o'clock, maybe between 5 and midnight, I don't know, but we know before Sunday morning, before the dawn of the first day of the week, when the sun was just coming up, like I said, you can read that in John. You can read that in all the Gospels. So you also know the date and the day that Christ rose from the dead, which is Saturday. It was Saturday, and it would be April. Let me figure this out. I'm doing this off the top of my head. If the 3rd is Wednesday, 4th Thursday, 5th, 6th is the Sabbath day. So on April the 6th, somewhere after dark, that's the date Christ became God again. And April the 7th, Sunday morning, which we call Sunday morning, the Bible would say the first day of the week, because Sunday is just a pagan name for the day, worshiping the sun god, not Christ, the girls found the tomb empty. And then on the 22nd of the month, which I believe is the 10th of April, is the first fruits, the counting of the Omer towards Pentecost. So what is Christ? He is our Passover. He is the lamb that was sacrificed for us, like it was instituted with the Passover of Moses when the Israelis were going to leave Egypt. And their blood covered the sin, the blood of the lamb covered the sins of the people of Israel for a year, for a temporary time. And it didn't even do the whole year because they needed another lamb slain every day all the way up to Day of Atonement when they did it again, because lamb's blood cannot take away yours and my sin or the sins of the world. Only the blood of our Creator God, and Jesus is the Creator God. You read that in the first chapter of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was God. And it says all things that were created by Him. Him is Jesus Christ. So when He died, when He had His Passover meal on the right day, which we're is tonight when we should have ours, we should be memorializing that Christ had His last meal with the disciples tonight. And tomorrow is a very sad day. It's the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and it is the day He was killed, crucified, and He is the symbolic fulfillment of unleavened bread. You ever notice in the Old Testament, you can never give leavening in the bread. All the showbread in the temple had to be unleavened. Why? Because yeast, that's all we're talking about. The leavening of the time is yeast, not baking soda. So the yeast symbolizes sin, and Christ is sinless. So His holiday to represent a sinless Christ, a sinless human being who was butchered for our life, for we could have eternal life someday at the resurrection of the dead when He returns to this earth at His second coming, that unleavened bread symbolizes the purity and the sinless nature of Christ. Then following the last day of unleavened bread comes the first fruits, because Christ is the firstborn of the dead. Christ is the first person to ever be born again, born of spirit, after He was flesh. That's what it says, and I'm telling you, that's what the Bible is telling us, and that's what we should be doing. So tonight, what we are going to do, if you don't have to follow, some people believe you only have to have the bread and the wine. That Christ instituted the bread, which represents Him, the matzo, and the wine, which represents His blood. In fact, He says, take this, meaning the bread, He split it, and this is my body, which is shed for thee. And then He takes the blood, or the wine, which is symbolized of His blood. This is the blood of the new covenant, which has been shed for thee. And this is what some people only follow, a bread and wine Passover. The Essenes, I have been told or read about, if it's true or not, but most scholars agree that the Essenes never would eat lamb on Passover because they did not believe that the lamb could be eaten that was not sacrificed at the temple. And because this temple was under the control of either the Sadducees or the Pharisees, who followed a different calendar, they would not allow themselves to eat the Passover lamb. So they instituted the bread and the wine some 180 years before Christ did. So that's a possibility. So if some people only want to have unleavened bread and wine, I don't see a problem with that. But we will have, tonight, we will have Passover lamb, a lamb that my wife bought from the Whole Foods market, and we will have the matzo-type bread. Ours has got to be gluten-free because my wife has serious celiac issues. And then we will have the red wine that symbolizes blood, and we will remember what Christ did for us. We will also probably read a little scripture from Exodus of the first Passover, although I don't even believe Passover was really instituted at Exodus. I think it was redone at Exodus, because I believe that the story of Abraham and Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, when they're having unleavened bread then, was a Passover that was happening then as a precursor to the Passover that would happen under Moses, which was looking forward to the Passover of Christ's death. Very complicated maybe, but it's really not. And so that's what we'll do today. Tomorrow, we're not going to work. I'm not going into my job at the paint factory. Hopefully, it all goes well for us. And we have a holy day tomorrow. Tomorrow is a special Sabbath. I will be back on to explain more about that tomorrow, noontime. And so until tomorrow, this is Bob Barney for The Plain Truth Today saying I really appreciate if you made it this far, that you're still listening. Give it a chance. Try it. Read what we have written. Look for yourself in the Bible. Look at the discrepancies. And then if you have the time, look how theologians, mainly Catholics, have tried to bend and twist the words on the page in Scripture to in order for us to be following a pagan holiday and say it's Christ's holiday. It's a lie. It's a damn lie. And it's time that all of us wake up that there are God's holy days that symbolize the entire plan of salvation of mankind that you don't get from Christmas, you don't get from Easter, you don't get from Halloween, but you do get by following God's Passover, by His unleavened bread week, by His first fruits, by Pentecost, by the Day of Atonement, and finally by the Feast of Tabernacles and the great last day. Again, Bob Barney saying thank you. God bless you, and have a happy Passover if you're following it. Bye-bye.